Now, let's look over at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick, and this man had a name. It was Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And you know, Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends of Jesus. He'd been in their home. It was Mary that anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, now notice, they sent somebody to Jesus and said, Lazarus is sick. Didn't say how sick he was or anything else. Didn't say he's got a high fever, anything. He's sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. That word unto means to the advantage of. Look it up if you don't believe me. This sickness is not to the advantage of death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified. Now notice, it never says that God made him sick, or that God killed him, or that it was God's will that he die. Jesus simply said, let me paraphrase this. He said, this sickness won't result in death. Instead, this sickness will bring glory to God so that the Son of God will receive glory through it. Now, verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So, when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Now, that doesn't seem to make sense. Again, it seems like perhaps maybe Jesus was waiting for him to die, but he wasn't. Verse 7. Then after this, after 2 days, he said to his disciples, let's go to Judah again. Now here's one of the clues to this verse, verse 8, just statement. His disciples said, Jesus, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. Are you going there again? Now, you know, the Jews knew that he and Mary and Martha and Lazarus were friends. And they knew that Lazarus was sick, and they were most likely waiting there to kill him. Now, once he's dead, they're not worried about Jesus coming to heal him. They're not looking for him. Let's read on. But Jesus already took care of the situation because he said this sickness is not towards death. Jesus knew you can have what you say. You think Jesus knew that? Isn't that what Mark 11:23 is? You know, I just read something today. Brother Hagin, you know, used to go to churches year after year after year and stay for 2-3 weeks, sometimes a month. One fellow came up to him one day and he said, you know, this is the 13th time I've heard you preach on Mark 11:23. He said, I got it today. Amen. Jesus taught you can have what you say if you don't doubt it in your heart. Now, so Jesus established what's going to happen. The sickness is not to the advantage of death. Now let's read on. They said, Rabbi, don't you remember the Jews are going to kill you, going to stone you? Jesus said, there's 12 hours in the day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. These things he said, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well. You know, let's don't go there. This is dangerous. However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about Lazarus taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now, how did he know that? By the Spirit of God. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. He didn't say, I'm glad. Now, listen to this. He didn't say, I'm glad I wasn't there so I can get glory from this. 3 things here we should see. 1, you can have what you say. Jesus proved 3 things. You can have what you say. And that God can raise the dead, not just heal the sick. And that he cares. Amen? Let's read on. Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die. This was a dangerous deal. So when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. In other words, the enemy's camp. You know, Jerusalem was the enemy's camp. And many of the Jews are those people from Jerusalem, Many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went, and Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, see, she's got to blame Jesus now. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. See, you got to blame somebody for these things. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. But she didn't really believe that, because we'll read that next. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. See, now that's the second statement that he made. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Well, she didn't, because she didn't say that. She said, yes, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God who's come into the world. That wasn't what he asked her. You see, they only had sense knowledge. They didn't have revelation knowledge. They didn't believe Jesus could raise somebody from the dead. And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. So he's kind of there secretly. You see that? He's not got the marching band out. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Now she's going to accuse him. Said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. See, they both believed he could heal but not raise from the dead. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. The Jews said, see how he loved him? No, he wept at their unbelief and their quickness to accuse him. And the Jews said, now the Jews are going to accuse him. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? See, everybody's accusing Jesus of doing wrong. Then Jesus again groaned in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. See, she had no faith in resurrection. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his voice and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Now notice, he didn't pray. He didn't say, God, everybody here is accusing me of being heartless and cruel and uncaring. Mary's accusing me. Martha's accusing me. These Jews are accusing me. Raise Lazarus. He never said any of that. He just said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. When did he hear him? He heard him when he said, this sickness is not unto death. He heard him when he said, your brother will rise again. He didn't say, I hope. He didn't say, maybe. I sure hope this works. No, he knew he could have what he said. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I say this, that they may believe that you sent me. And I'm sure the disciples are saying, what did he say? What did he say? I didn't hear him say anything. See, he already said it. He didn't pray. He declared that this sickness would not end in death. You remember when Jairus came and said, my little daughter lies at the point of death? And he got waylaid on the way, you know, with the woman with the issue of blood. The little girl died. They came to Jairus and said, don't bother Jesus anymore. The little girl is dead. And Jesus said, only believe. Don't think that. Don't say that. Don't talk about it. What's he going to believe? Exactly what he said. Come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may live. hold fast to the confession of your faith. You see? That's the principle. He said, Father, I know that you've heard my words and they will come to pass. Now when he'd said these things, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. So Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. He did pretty good coming out there blindfolded. But you see, Jesus went about doing good. And he wasn't being mean. He knew that there would be trouble if he went there, but he knew that he could have what he said. He gave first aid. See? He said, this sickness is not unto death. This sickness is not to the advantage of death. That's pretty good. Sickness will not win, but what the devil meant for evil, God will use for good. Amen? All right. Well, I started out yesterday going to talk about Job, and then today God switched me. I wasn't going to say anything that I said today. Next week we'll talk about three things. We'll talk about the healing of the waters in Exodus 15. We will talk about Job, and we will talk about Paul's thorn. Amen? And you'll see, just like here, God is good and His mercy endures forever. And He's not the author of sickness. I encourage you to do this. Just this week, look at the Exodus 15 account where God said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. But before that, it says in the King James and several translations, I will put none of these diseases upon you that I've put on the Egyptians. But if you look that up, you'll discover again there's no I in the Hebrew. The only I is when he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Those first two I's aren't there. Somebody with no I's put them in there. There's no I's in there except I, and that's emphatic. I've got a Bible called the Emphasized Bible, and it's real difficult to read. It's great big thick, and he's got all kinds of notations, and I always have to go and try to remember what in the world these notations mean. He's got marks and good Bible, and he's a pretty sharp fellow, but it's not something you just read. But in that verse, what's emphasized, and you don't always get that unless you're a Hebrew scholar, and he's marked the emphasized with two little lines. You got to, like I said, figure out what they are, and he's got all kind of... In that verse, the I am is emphasized. I am the Lord healeth thee. And when it says none of these diseases, the word none is emphasized. Hallelujah. That's what you got to remember. None of those is from God, and I'm the healer. I'll remind you that next. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your great love. And fathers, we thank you. Say this with me. Father, I thank you. You are the Lord that healeth me. And let's just thank Him. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are the Lord, our healer. You're the Lord, my healer. You're the Lord, their healer. You are the healer. You're the deliverer. Oh, thank you, Father, that you bring life and you bring it more abundantly. Oh, we just give you praise and glory and honor. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for this great salvation in which we stand. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.